Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit upon us this morning, that as we read your scripture and hear your word proclaimed, we might see anew how you were at work in our lives and how we might respond to your abundant grace. In your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Our gospel lesson for today is from John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. You can follow along on the screen, or if you want to follow along in your pew Bibles, you can turn to page 97 in the New Testament. Hear God's word for us this morning. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" Jesus said this to test Philip, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of these people to have even a little piece. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, and so they sat down, 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he was done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." This is the word of the Lord. How much is enough? I ask that question every single day. Am I feeding my baby enough? Do I have enough time for this? It comes up a lot in our family. I don't know about in yours. Our kids attend the Jewish Community Center for Daycare here in Mequon. Gan Ami is the name of the school. And because of this, our family is learning a lot about the Jewish faith and how our Jewish friends do faith formation. Last month, our daughter Emma came home from school with a Kleenex box that was decorated with some feathers and shiny things and a little note that said it was a Zadika box. We learned that as our Jewish friends prepare for the new year, which happened in October, they have a practice of decorating these offering boxes as a family. And over the fall season, they fill the offering boxes with money and present it at their temple to help care for the needs of those in our community. It's an act of charity, an act of justice. Well, Emma was very excited about her Zadika box because it had feathers and sparkles. 2 things 4-year-olds love. But also she was excited because she could help somebody. Her teacher had done a good job of helping them to understand how their money can be used for good things to help their neighbors. So we talked about it. Well, we should do this as a family. We can all put money in the box. And then Emma ran upstairs and got her piggy bank and brought it down and put it on the table and threw it all in the box. This is like 4 years of piggy bank savings. And I said to Emma, "Are you sure you want to put this all in your Zadika box? All of it? I know you're saving for some things." "Oh, yes, Mama, I want to put it all in because there will be more than enough. I know you'll help me fill my piggy bank up again." Well, I was pleased. I was proud. My daughter had an understanding of stewardship. She cares for her neighbors. She trusted that there would be enough. I was riding high. And then fast forward to last week. We were talking about Dedication Sunday and talking about bagging up the offering to take to church for Daddy to put in the offering plate because she's in worship. And her tune changed. "Mama, I don't want to give it all anymore. There's a Paw Patrol toy I really want to buy with some of my money." When I asked what had changed, she said, "Well, I want to give some of it, but not all of it." And so she started to take the money out of the Zadika box and put it back into her piggy bank. And we tried to talk through this with her. You can do both. You can give part of your gift to help your neighbor at church, and you can keep some for herself. But Emma sensed there would not be enough. Maybe you sense sometimes there's not going to be enough. You're feeling stretched and pulled with your time. It's the throes of the fall school year, and you're a senior in high school, and you're wondering, do I have enough on my resume to get into the school I want to go to? How much is enough? Well, that's the question at the center of our passage for today. Our story is a really familiar one. Jesus feeds the 5,000. It's in every single children's Bible storybook and taught in Sunday schools around the world. It's a story that happens in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So when something happens in all four Gospels, you know it's worth paying attention to. But it also occurs twice in Matthew and Mark. There are two feeding stories in those Gospels. So six times we have this story. Why do you think we have so many stories of God miraculously providing for people? Could it be because we wonder if there's going to be enough? So let me set the scene for our story for today. Jesus has just come back from Jerusalem, and he has healed a lot of different people. He's healed a Samaritan woman. He's healed a rich boy's son. He's talked to people that others would rather ignore and exclude, and he's gathered them in. And the crowds have followed him from Jerusalem, which is in the south, all the way back to his hometown region of Galilee, which is the north. Galilee's a beautiful part of the country with rolling hills and olive trees. It's home. And Jesus has gone back for some respite before the Passover. But the crowds keep following Jesus, and they keep growing. He's got a pretty sizable chunk of groupies at this point. And so here we are on the Sea of Galilee, on a hill, in a beautiful place called Tabgha. I had the privilege of going to Tabgha on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land 4 years ago. And Tabgha is right near a Roman road. It runs right across the top. And that Roman road runs from Syria and Lebanon all the way down along the coast. So it's a road where a lot of people travel, tradesmen, people who are going to sell their wares. Tabgha is also a site where there are seven springs of water. So it's that natural place where you stop for a pit stop on your journey. It's that McDonald's across the highway that you stop at if you're driving to Chicago. If you've been there, we have. So this is Tabgha. It's a place where lots of people are always gathering because there's fresh water, there's a road, there's a lake, there's a natural hill. And so 5,000 people have gathered here. And they're waiting to hear from Jesus. They're waiting for him to teach and talk to them. And it's dinner time. Jesus asks one of his disciples a trick question. "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asks this to test him. And Philip says, 6 months' wages won't feed all these people. So you've got a story of impossibilities. 5,000 people, it's dinner time, there's not enough money in the world to feed these people, and there's not enough food to go around. Jesus uses this opportunity of a meal, of a crowd, of hunger, of not enough to reshape their understanding of who he is and what he's about. And so we have our first miracle in the story. The first miracle is that there's a little boy who gives 5 small barley loaves and 2 fish. 5 barley loaves. Barley loaves were the bread of the poorest of the poor in Bible times. So we know that this little boy is not wealthy, And so this food is likely not just his meal for the day, but probably his meal for the week. And he gives it all. Now, this painting is beautiful, but it kind of sentimentalizes the boy. It makes us think of our own children giving it all. But the reality in Jesus' time is that children were not valued members of society. Children were outcasts because they died at pretty young ages. Girls were married off the ages of 13 through 17. Children have no power. They have no voice. They're not entitled. And so you have this double whammy, this little boy who's very poor economically, and a child giving everything to Jesus. He offered everything, his first fruits, not his leftovers, but everything. What an act of courage. What an act of vulnerability. What an ultimate act of trust. He gives everything to Jesus because he trusts Jesus to use it well. What an unlikely steward. Now, I think it's interesting that John's the only gospel that mentions the little boy. The others kind of gloss over this detail and say Jesus got some food. But I think it's worth paying attention to that it's a child, someone you wouldn't think of, that is the first source of this miracle. And as we know from our own children, except for mine, children are inclined to give, right? They're trusting. They trust for you to provide. Every time I feed my son John, he has this habit of just throwing himself back on my lap, trusting I'm going to catch him and feed him his bottle and give him the nourishment that he needs. That's a child. They're giving, they're trusting, they're generous. And then we mess it up by asking those, "Are you sure?" questions. We take that trust, we take that generosity away from our children. So here we have a little boy trusting Jesus with his daily bread. And then we have a turning point. This generous gift is multiplied for the masses. 5,000 people. Jesus takes his first fruits of scarcity and vulnerability and transforms it into a gift of abundance. In fact, it's so abundant and so miraculous that there are 12 baskets of food remaining, which is why we have 12 baskets of bread on our communion table today. So Jesus receives this gift and it's multiplied. Now, for the skeptics in the crowd, Jesus doesn't go into the mechanics of how this miracle happens. It happens. Some scholars say maybe people saw the generosity of this little boy and they had scraps in their pocket. And as the baskets were going by, they threw some things in too. We don't know. Either way, it's a miracle of transformation and abundance. We know from this story that God is in the business of taking our weakness, what little we have, and multiplying it for all to have more than enough. And that's what happens in our story for today. 5,000 people are fed, and there's more than enough to go around. Every gift matters. Every gift can be used by God, even if you're a little boy with a little bit of bread and a little bit of fish. Well, today is Dedication Sunday. It's the culmination of our stewardship season where we will place our dedication cards, our commitment cards of treasure in the offering basket. But you also picked up a card in the back of the sanctuary that has the logo on it, right? I want you to take a minute now or right after the sermon to reflect on the gifts God has given you, not just your treasure, but what talents, what things has God blessed you with this past year? It's an opportunity for us to take an inventory. And when the offering baskets go by, we'll take our normal offering. But after we've had communion and received God's abundant grace, we'll have an opportunity to walk forward and put in the center basket our dedication pledge card and our gift card, the gifts that you see. And those cards will be used and probably put on display in some way, shape, or form in the future to remind us that God has given us more than we need. Both of these cards represent a commitment from us, a commitment to take what we have and share, not just for ourselves, but for the glory of God. Now, committing in this way, putting something down on a card, making a pledge, this is entirely countercultural. It's not something people in our world do on a daily basis. But it's what we are to do if we are to bear God's fruit in the world. The theologian Henry Nouwen, who I love, has a wonderful devotional book called Bread for the Journey. And in this devotional book, he has a beautiful description of what this story, Feeding of the 5,000, means. He says that this is a story of fruitfulness, not of success. He says success comes from strength and control. A successful person creates something and controls it. But in this story, we have a story of fruits. Fruits come from weakness and vulnerability. A child is the fruit conceived in vulnerability. Community is the fruit born of coming together and trusting one another. Intimacy is the fruit that brings growth through seeing each other in all that we are. What gives us joy as followers of Jesus is fruitfulness, is offering what we have to be shared to the glory of God. Friends, we've been given many gifts. And so at the end of the service, as you bring your gift forward, I pray that you will do so with joy, with gratitude to God for giving you those gifts to steward. And as we share our gifts, I know that God will use them and multiply them in ways we couldn't do if we just ministered alone. I have a feeling that after we dedicate our gifts today, there will be more than enough. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all, Amen.